Okay. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening, everybody. My name is Kathy, and I am a compulsive overeater, and I am in recovery for today. I'm going to talk first about what got me here, then why I stayed, and why it's like what it is now. So I grew up in the 50s and 60s, and I was a big kid, but when I look at pictures of myself starting in third grade, I was really pudgy. And then we moved. And I started fourth grade with people who had been together since kindergarten. So I was the new kid on the block, and I wanted so much to belong and to be liked. And I was fat, and some bullying, and, you know, one time a boy that I liked gave me a piece of candy. And when I started to eat it, everybody laughed because they had dropped it on the floor first. So then I went, you know, when I got to high school, we were separated. We were girls on one side of the building and boys on the other side. It was a big building. And, you know, I wanted to belong. I did well in some classes. Others, if I didn't understand, I just cut it off. You know, real black and white thinking. And when I was a sophomore, I was asked to the senior prom, and that's the first time I went on a diet. It was the weigh and pay that was the only one available at the time. And so I lost some weight and went to the prom. And at the after prom dinner, I started eating again, because my denial was if I'd been on a diet, I wouldn't gain the weight back. And then I would gain the weight back and I would be, how did this happen? And then I would, you know, go on another diet. So I'm a diet. It wasn't as bad as it became, but I was a diet binge, diet binge, diet binge, which is extremely unhealthy. I tried, when I was in college one time, I tried to throw up and it didn't work. And I'm really grateful because the bulimia is, it just ravages your body, and obesity does too. I started dating somebody when I was a freshman in college. I didn't do well in college because I was always procrastinating about projects and waiting till the last minute to do them. And unfortunately, my grade point, you know, suffered. And it was a lot of just not having any confidence in myself, not believing in myself, not feeling good about myself, and eating. After college, I started teaching. I had a really bad experience when I was student teaching, and I decided that I didn't want any more parts of that. And then I started working in an office, and it was so deadly boring that I knew I didn't want to do that. So there was one job open up in a place outside of Philadelphia called Lansdale, which I had never heard of. I'm a real city girl. And I had to find somebody to take me up there. And then I got the job. They were pretty desperate. It was the day before. It was the Monday, the day after. I'm trying to think what it was. I think I went up there on a Saturday of Labor Day weekend. So I really never had a chance to quit the job and go. I just never went back. And I got a very angry phone call from the person saying that, you know, I would never have a job at that particular company. And today I know I would have acted differently, but I did take that job. And at the end of, let's see what happened. I went on, I'm getting old, so I have to keep this straight as to what happened when. Okay, at the end of my first year teaching, I had decided I would, I went to a foreign country to study, which was lovely, and I was in Weight Watchers, and I'm sorry, Wayne Pei, that was the only one there at the time. And so I was a leader. And the gal said to me, now, actually the person that started.
Minutes, Kathy.
Okay, that program in this area. And she said, you have to pick either the pastries or wine. Well, guess which one I picked. I didn't care about the other one. So anyway, fast forward, and I finally found OA. I found OA for the first time in 1977. I thought everybody was crazy. And I remember this lady handed me a gray piece of paper. I was about to go into the army to effect a geographic cure. And I looked at it and I thought, lady, if you think I'm going to eat that stuff, I mean, of course I didn't say it because I had a big smile face, you know, on my face. And I thought, I'm not going to eat like this. So I went off and practiced my compulsion for a couple more years. And my ultimate goal was to get married. And I got married and I was still overeating. And then I got scared. So I found OA out. We were living in the Midwest. And I put my husband and me on that Wayne Pei diet. Had no idea, you know, I was going to cooperate and graduate. And that was in 1981. And I'm still here 41 years later. Now, I did get abstinent to begin with, but I did not stay abstinent. My sister-in-law was killed in 1981. I got into program in September. Then the first Christmas came, I baked a trunk full of food and brought it back. So here I am, the person coming from the Midwest with all these goodies. And my brother went, oh my gosh, you did say you were bringing back a trunk full of food. And then that's called vicarious eating. It's you're not eating, but you're watching everybody else eat and wishing it was you or me. I was wishing it was me. So finally, I hit a bottom. We lived out in, doesn't matter. We lived out in central Pennsylvania. And no, I'm sorry. We had moved to Illinois. My husband was in the Air Force and we moved out there and I got into program and I could talk a good talk, but I was not abstinent. And so I was a delegate. I was a region representative and I just didn't show up for a regional meeting and I didn't give anybody a call. There were no cell phones or anything like that. There was no computer, nothing, just phones. And I could have called. There's no reason I didn't. I just procrastinated and I watched the clock go by the whole weekend. And then the treasurer, the trustee called me for that region during the week in an evening. And she talked to me very gently about it. And I got off the phone and I mumbled some kind of an excuse. And I got off the phone and I realized nobody had asked me to do the service that I had volunteered to do and that I had let people down. And so I hit kind of an emotional bottom rather than a food bottom. And it took a couple, we moved, that was in that, actually that was in early November or late October. And we moved back to the Philadelphia area because my husband retired from the Air Force. And he wanted to move to California and, you know, cause that was gonna be a new beginning. And I didn't want to spend that kind of money and find out I didn't like it out there. So we moved back to Philadelphia to my dad's. And I realized some other things that got me into some other programs. But my dad was an alcoholic. And I was really shook when I realized that. So I got really involved in Philadelphia. I started going to breakfast with people who were abstinent and then going to a meeting and then having lunch with people and going to a meeting. And I was going to meetings at night and I was really, really, I really wanted to get better. I had promised myself that I would not pick up the fork to overeat no matter what happened. And I got involved in a a step study. At the time, it was called AWOL, A Way of Living. And that's when I actually started to read the books and to write about things. And we used a lot of stuff that was not OA literature. Okay, fine. Thank you. So that's how I got abstinent. That stuck. And I celebrate my abstinence date, April the 4th, 1981, because that's the date that I stopped drinking alcohol. And I know what that turns into in my body. And I just decided, no, you know, kind of loosened my thinking about maybe food and stuff like that. So it was, I was just better off without it. And now, what did I do? It's been a very slow journey. More than 30 years. But every time I, you know, I read something in the big book or I went to a meeting, I tried to be open-minded, even if I didn't particularly care for the person. And because I've been to meetings where I walked in and made judgments as soon as I walked in, I mean, we're supposed to be able to make judgments. When we become judgmental, is that when we take our natural gift for that, because I need judgment to come to a red light and say to myself, I have to stop here. That's a judgment. I have to stop. And another, you know, it's, we talk about our God-given instincts and we've taken them way past what they were supposed to do. So I did that AWOL, got absent. We moved out to central Pennsylvania. I said that I had done this and they said, oh, we heard about that. Would you do one for us? And I said, yes. And, you know, one night I had to cross a bridge to get to where from Mechanicsburg to Harrisburg. And I had a flat tire. And there's a page in the For Today that talks about, you know, when normal people have a flat tire, they call AAA. And when compulsive people have one flat tire, they call suicide prevention. Because before program, and even a couple of years into it, until I got abstinent and started working this, living in the steps, working the steps and living in them, it was like, I can't believe this happened to me. I mean, so I wouldn't be really diva, but I was a semi-diva. I can't believe this. How come this happened to me? You know, it was always me, I. And what has happened since then is I have become teachable. I had a sponsor for 30 years. I loved her dearly. I was with her the last week before COVID shut everything down. She was back in the hospital. Her cancer had come back. And she died at Thanksgiving of, not this past Thanksgiving, the Thanksgiving before that. And I was heartbroken. I really was. You know, she was like my big sister. Because my mom had died when...
2 minutes.
Okay, thank you. When she was, my mother died when she was 48. And I didn't know what I was going to do. So we have a wonderful meeting for people who have been in program at least 20 years on Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock. It started out in this region. And now there are people from all over the world, England and Ireland and other places and California. And a lady was talking and I thought, I think she'll be, that would be good. And she's so different, but she's very, very program. You know, she's been abstinent longer than I've been abstinent. And somebody who knew, who lived in California and knew our founder, but she's just, I mean, she's tough and she's, and I'm on it. You know, I've learned to be honest. I lied all the time, even when I didn't have to. I just lied all the time. So being abstinent is not the end all of this program. It is the 12th step, which says to practice these principles in all our affairs. And the last place I realized I had to practice this program was in my home. By that time, I was long divorced from my first husband. He died of alcoholism at 55 years of age, all by himself in an apartment. It was very sad. And I didn't find out about it for a week or so, or a couple of days, I guess. And I was very sad. And I needed some extra help with that. And I got it, some professional help. And then I had 5 years where I was going out and dating, you know, in my late 40s and early 50s, which was really interesting. And then I met and married someone. And I thought, you know, here, you know, and life, you know, happily ever after. And it didn't. And December 27th, 2019, he dropped dead on a Friday night after we'd had family dinner. And I had to call people that had just been at the dinner, and we had been out for lunch that day, and let them know. And I had such an outpouring of help and sympathy and support from my OA fellows and also another program that I'm in. And I was able to get through all of that abstinently, because the food was not going to make him come back from the grave. The food will never, ever, ever solve any problem. It just adds one more. And, you know, practicing these principles in all my affairs, I was out with someone the other day and
time
done. Okay. All right. I'm done. Thanks.